Father in heaven, as I stand before you, I pray, Lord, that you will remove anything within me that will prevent you from speaking through me. Lord, touch my feeble lips, and may our hearts be blessed, I pray. Amen. I would like to spend the next couple of minutes focusing on the middle verse that was of those three verses that was just read. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Every man, every woman, great and ordinary, famous or forgotten, enters this world traumatically and begins to perceive his surroundings through the eyes of a child. It is during these tender years that the personality begins to form and take shape. Our development as men and women is shaped by the things we encounter as children. So the whole nature, nurturing process is of utmost importance. If the right environment is not created, nurturing is dysfunctional. Very often, dysfunctional children learn the art of suppressing their true feelings and develop techniques to mask their hurt and pain. This begs the question, as spiritual parents, are we living up to each other's expectations? When we fail to meet each other's expectations, gaps are created. Those gaps are often filled with disappointment, disillusionment, despair. God plants an infinitely curious mind within every little child. And those of you who are parents can attest to that. As they grow older, many children will bend to indifference and ignorance, while others will surrender to the scorn of judgmental behavior, eventually succumb to the pharisaical behavior and religious tradition of men. Let's explore a little closer the text under consideration. The first thing that the text speaks to is that as a child, you speak as a child. And those of us from a certain era can relate to that. You are often told, speak when you are spoken to. Remember your manners. So you are constantly being told that you are to speak as a child. When children speak, they want to be heard. They desire your attention. Are we listening to our new converts? Do we affirm their importance by dignifying and validating their opinions? Children need to be given opportunity to speak. There are many of us who think we know it all. Many of us acclaim that status because of our tenure in the church. You just come. You can't tell me nothing. Sit down and wait. Listen. We don't believe that these little neophytes can teach us anything. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Those of us who are of that opinion about our young ones or new converts, they can teach us a thing or two. Did you know new converts are by far the most zealous members we have within our family? And that they are two or three times more likely to win souls than those of us who are so-called mature Christians? Believe it or not, our most productive years tends to be when we are new converts. Just think about yourself at that stage of your development. Do you often find yourself thinking about those good old days and visioning yourself in your mind's eyes, just how vibrant you were? Do these reflections represent your most greatest Christian joy? If they do, and you can't remember the last time you felt like you were truly in love with your Lord and Savior, check yourself. Time for serious introspection. It is a clear sign that you are getting spiritually feeble, and maybe in some cases even dead. Time to check and reconnect to the source of life. Jesus spoke when he was a child. According to Luke verse 2, verse 46 and 47, he entered the temple and he spent 5 days listening first of all, then speaking with the leaders, the doctors of laws, while he was barely an adolescent. The Bible says that these scholars were astonished at his understanding and the answers he offered. If you want to know who someone is, listen to what he or she says. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus started protecting the heart, perfecting the heart of expression early in his life. What a boost that must have meant to his self-esteem to have the leaders and the teachers listening to what his thoughts were. There is something refreshing about hearing your thoughts. Follow the example. Encourage your children to express their thoughts. Childlike thoughts are innocent and pure. Children speak because of a genuine need to communicate. It's not like adults. There are many times when we speak because we just want to be heard. But children speak because they need to communicate. They want to share. They are anxious. They have insatiable appetites. They just can't get enough of their Father God. They are so excited. They want to share him with everyone. They just want to clear their lungs, to fill their lungs with fresh air and to exhale on the mountaintop that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is worthy to be worshipped. But what do the spiritual adults do? We stifle their natural responses by reining them in. That behavior is not acceptable. You can't shout hallelujah. It is Pentecostal. You can't say amen. Waving off your hands, that's a no-no. Friends, who appointed you judge and jury? Who gave you the authority to decide how we are to express our feelings for our God? Let no man stifle your expressions. Nobody knows the pain you have been through. Nobody knows the joy you feel. Then how can they then tell you how to express your joy, your praise, your adoration for your God? The Bible tells us that to whom much is given, much is expected. So friends, don't be an hypocrite. Do not suppress your feelings for your God just because the person next to you might look at you strange. I know sometimes they don't verbalize it, but they tell you with their eyes. Have you heard those eyes? Yes, I know my English is messed up, but have you heard those eyes? Friends, God is good, and He deserves our praise. Because of the constraint we often place on our children, spiritual children, many of them lose the ability to communicate during their childhood, and as a result, they end up being dysfunctional spiritual adults. That is why, my friend, the church is filled with so many dead woods. I understood as a child. Our understanding is the digestive process of our minds. It is the stage in which we come to resolve and to draw conclusions. Paul said that when he was a child, he understood as a child. If as adults, our understanding is still elementary and childish, we may come to immature conclusions. The process of understanding is guided to a large extent by our morals and our values that we shared as children. These are often shaped by our childhood experiences. And unfortunately, many of us are walking around as adults with scars from our childhood. When we joined the family of God, we were not allowed to forget our past. Because someone recognized us that we for what we once was. And they keep reminding you that you are the thief. You are the adulterer. You are the murderer. They are not prepared to accept you for who you are now, a child of God. I tell you, friends, persons within the family who pretend to be members of the family of God, they are pretenders, they are imposters. Do not let them let you lose your way. I've seen too many persons who allow these persons to drive them out of the church. And 20 years later, those persons are still in church. You know what? They may be taxi drivers to hell for Satan. But one thing, they are making the trip to and fro. And when they come to church, they are at least hearing the word of God. And once they are hearing the word, there is a chance for them. Don't let them deny you your chance. We are finding it difficult to let go of our past. We court disaster when we carry our childish perception into adulthood. As childish wisdom can be the most dangerous of all, especially in the mind of a wounded adult. Our spiritual needs and preferences are composite of our early childhood experience and encounters. The wrong exposures or influences in those formative years skew our ability to comprehend and to appreciate that which God truly wants to do for us and to do through us. And for some of us, because we became engulfed in excesses, our heads became intoxicated with the swirling spiral of unchecked emotions, ingested too much too early, and never resolved conflicts that raged within. Did you know that a large number of our new converts who leave the church, it's because of too much zeal? Their expectations are way above what the church delivered. And as a result of that gap, the unfulfilled desires, they left empty and disappointed. There are also some who lose their way because they are overzealous. They get swept away by every wind and doctrine that pass their way. They want to grow so fast that they fail to understand like children. They instead rush into adulthood. But whose fault is it? Someone has to save the children, as children can't save themselves. And that is why the book of Proverbs relate to the story of a father who tries to save his son from the danger of too much too soon. But for many of us, there wasn't a spiritual father patient and wise enough to save us from the pain. I taught as a child. What a different world this would be if we were able to maintain the innocence of our children and keep them free from corrupt passion. We must always be mindful that too much early exposure is likely to result in some of us suffering spiritual burnout. Otherwise, we become stressed out. The mind of a child should not be stressed with the harsh issues. The basic and fundamentals of saving relationship should be carefully and patiently taught. Paul admonishes us to give them milk before hard food is served. The children of God should be taught to take the responsibility for their actions from early, and we would have less people leaving church blaming others. They must be told that each man is accountable for his own soul. The salvation, the saving relationship, is a one-on-one relationship. No mother, no father can enter into a saving relationship for any of us. It does not matter whether that person is the elder, pastor, deacon. It is only through nurturing the children among us that we will be able to keep the save and get them to help us seek the loss. Each of us need to understand that all that I express and understand is relative to my childhood. Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, namely the children. In other words, we must have childlike characteristics to be members of God's kingdom. On another occasion, when Jesus' disciple asked, who was the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus said, truly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18 verse 3. Jesus was not speaking about physically becoming like a child. Can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born again? Certainly not. Jesus was clear. He gave us the key characteristic of the child that we must possess. Humility. After Jesus told the disciples that they must be converted and become like little children, he said, whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. James and Peter, teaching on salvation and quoting from the Old Testament, say, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4 verse 6, 1 Peter 5 verse 5. Without the childlike characteristic of humility, God will not save us. We will not enter into his kingdom. For when I became a man, I put away childish things. The writer was convicted that through inspiration, that just as physical growth is a process, spiritual growth is a continuous process. Becoming a man symbolizes spiritual maturity, spiritual adulthood. The first thing the Bible indicates about spiritual adulthood is that a dietary change is necessary. Hebrews 5 verse 13 to 14. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do that which is right. But solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Friends, nothing looks more abnormal than to see a big boy with mouth full of teeth sucking breast milk in public. Yes, I agree. Breast is best, Pastor. But breast milk is age appropriate. It is what is required in the case of the undeveloped stomach of an infant. It has all the required nutrients, even water. I understand from my wife that even water is conveyed in the breast milk. It is what, but as one starts to develop, the stomach grows, the appetite expands, the mouth gets populated with teeth. The stomach develops acid and enzymes that can now digest the hard food. This natural state of development is what tells you that it is time for a change in your diet. Are you an overgrown child still sucking breast milk from the breast when you should be eating solid food? Today, friends, is that day that you start that transition process. I recommend for all of us a steady and consistent diet of diligent study of the word and fervent and continuous prayer. I recommend diligent study of the word and fervent and continuous prayer. Friends, it is time for us to know the words for ourselves. I am tired of speaking to people and they are quoting Pastor. No offense, Pastor. My pastor said that won't cut it. If you don't know the words for yourself, your very foundation will crumble when challenged. Maybe I was not very clear. I say, friends, let us stand firm on the word of God. Let us stand firm on that rock of ages. I am talking about no Saint Peter here, but the rock of ages. The one alone who can cleanse the sin-sick soul. Do you know him for yourself? Do you know him at all? What is his name? The God we serve is not a selfish God. By no stretch of my imagination can he be described as such. He is very kind and generous, and he has promised that your bread and water will be sure. If you don't believe me, consult Isaiah 33 verse 16. But you know what, friends? The children of God are well trained. They have been taught that it is not good to have and not share. Friends, I grew up in the country. And one of the things about the country, Pastor, I know you are a countryman. People develop the heart of time in the pot. I don't know if my yard was special, but I know I always had a few visitors around dinner time. And it was most heart-wrenching as a child to sit and to be served last. Your one or your two dumpling turn into half. But that is all we were taught. We were taught to share. When Christmas time came and we killed the goat, you were given peace to carry down the road to Miss Matty and peace for Master James. Those virtues were inculcated into us as children. And as a result of that, it flows naturally as adults. God desires the same of us. He expects us to share what he has blessed us with. There are too many of us who say, I don't know enough to share. Nobody is asking you to preach a sermon or to give a Bible study. But share in your own unique way, in your own little corner. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and come and want to desire to know that God that is reflected through you. Friends, it is natural. It is a natural progression The nurtured must become a nurturer after time. You can't sit in church for 20 years and want to be constantly nurtured. There must be a time when you are prepared to be the nurturer. Ever so often, many of us sit around complaining about church and its members. Who is warm from who is cold? Who sits beside you and don't say hello? All range of issues. So many of us seem to believe that our sole talent is to complain. You know the thing that surprised me? Many times the person you are looking to and expecting to be the one reaching out to you is actually having that expectation of you and is actually the person who is in need. Check yourself. Stop whining and complaining. I invite you, even at this moment, to reach out to someone and to say, I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. If you want me to stop, I'll stop. Reach out to someone. If it is that I have to beg you to do it so you can get a start, the nurturing process must start today. Worship is a verb. We must do it. Exercise is the next element that is critical for spiritual muscles to be developed. Just like how you go to the gym and the gym instructor instructs you to do a certain amount of reps, repetition deepens impression. So we need to constantly exercise our faith. We need to be consistent in our belief. We need to claim His promises continuously by repeating these actions. We strengthen our spiritual muscles. Hebrews 5 verse 14, those who are of full age by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7, exercise yourself towards godliness. Friends, with maturity comes responsibility. There are too many among us who are hurting and in need of our love, your compassion and understanding. We are here to build up each other, to encourage each other, to be understanding. We need to be patient and to recognize that not all of us are at the same stage of spiritual maturity. Friends, if I was not focused and if I did not recognize that God is my bulwark, my rock, my shelter in my time of storm, and if I did not have faithful people praying for me, I would have walked away from the family of God a long time ago. Brethren, I know some of my words are caustic, but I tell you, there are many persons in church even today who purports to be sharing words of encouragement, but the words that escape their lips are nothing but messages from the devil himself. They seek to break you every opportunity that they get. I tell you, I can recall as a youngster, right in the passage around here, I was missing from church for a few months. A brother and a sister saw me and they embraced me. And I felt, whoa, I let my guards down. I really felt that, yes, my family missed me too. Like, my brother said to me, the sister said to me, where have you been? And as I attempted to explain where I've been these past months, my brother offered the explanation for me. And he said, my brother, come church. No, make nothing stop you. We have all been there. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And my mouth froze. It is a good thing nothing had escaped my lips. I recoiled into myself and my emotions were temporarily frozen. I spent months abroad, my sister, going through what most poor Jamaicans do, hustle to send themselves to school. I was hustling to go to college and university. And every single day, I saw the faces of my brethren. I missed them. I was in a community where I could count the number of black persons. I had no Seventh-day Adventist church in near proximity. I often walked to the Jewish synagogue and stood in the passageway just to feel a part of something. That is the closest I got. And I am not an emotional person, friends. And when I told you I had a calendar counting down the days to come back home, and I was so anxious the first Sabbath, and that is how my brethren greeted me. Far too many of us see it as our responsibility to be the one who decides who is the black sheep in the family of God, and to seek to banish them to the wilderness of condemnation. Stop it. Celebrate your family. Every day you wake up, give thanks to God. And pray a prayer for all of us. But never lose sight of the fact that your membership in God's family, it's only because you have allowed yourself to be washed in the fountain and to be cleansed by his blood. Friends, I know we have let each other down from time to time, but it is no excuse to walk away from the family of God. Because our Father is always there. He has sent his Son to set the example for us to follow. He beckons us to follow him. And he is constantly calling and wooing us into a relationship with him. His stubborn love refuses to let go of us. It is time we stop fooling around. Like any relationship, love flows both ways. When we hurt him, he feels pain just like you feel when your spouse or your children hurt you, sooner or later, the other party in the relationship will get frustrated with constant messing around. Mature Christians must reflect mature experience and demonstrate to the world that we know the Jesus from whom eternal life flows. It won't be long. It won't be long. So keep your eyes glued on the eastern skies. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Family of God, I am looking forward to be in that throne on that great getting up morning. And as I look at you down there, I'm trying desperately to remember every face. And I want you to do likewise, to look around and even at this moment to breathe a word of prayer that every one of us will be in that throng on that great getting up morning. So never cease from praying for each other. Never cease from encouraging each other. It is not about where we're coming from. It is about where we are heading. God bless you.